One of the phenomenon, so to speak, of Chag HaSukkos, Chag HaAsif, as we'll talk about it, is the competition, as it were, or not, between the mitzvos hayom, right? That, when it comes to the Moadim, we're always thinking about what are the mitzvos hayom. So we could very quickly establish a spectrum. Let's say the Yontif that we just passed through is a day of Shvisa, is a day of Inui, and there's a whole story to be told about that. V'nisem b'snafsho seichem is part of the Kedusha Sayom, Shabbat Shabbat Shabbasoni lachem. V'nisem b'snafsho seichem, the section in Achremos, section in Emor, different indications, that's fine. Rosh Hashanah we talked about extensively, right? The Maisa Mitzvah isn't described, but it's a Yom Trua, right? It's a very important component of the day, and the way that factors into Malchios. When it comes to Chag HaMatzos, it's more about the aversion to chametz, frankly, than an obligation towards matzah on the chiyuv level, though, as all of you pointed out not long ago, right, on the kiyum level for sure. So Chag HaMatzos, a singular theme there. Shavuos is striking because they're, outside of the Shtei Halachem, there's really nothing to speak of in terms of mitzvos hayom. The Ramban talks about there being a havamina, Torah Shebichsav, that, in the absence of the Karban Omer and the Shtei Halacha, maybe there'd be no Mikra Kodesh called Shavuos. Why the Torah chose to obscure the very date of Matan Torah itself is one of the great mysteries of the Torah. There's just no question about that. Why that? And that's an incredibly significant point in Torah. Gracious Bar Elokim, Eis HaShemayim, V'Eis Haaretz, Vayer Vayvoker Yom HaShishi, Bishvil Shishi, Besiva Nivra Ha'olam, Mishrama Kadlan Esatara Mutav, Vimlav, Chazun Eschamato Vavohu, why the Torah would have chosen to obscure, the actual date and its affiliation with Chag HaShavuos is a fascinating topic, but not for now. But it's just important to establish for our spectrum, right? No obvious mitzvah sayom. And then you come to Sukkos, which is replete. And you go from, almost min ha-katzeh ha-katzeh in terms of the Shavuos, Sukkos transition, and even the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur to Sukkos transition, right? Sukkos is both the culmination of the Shalosh Regalim and the Tishrei season. It has a very interesting identity in that way. And lo and behold, there is seemingly some kind of a competition between the various themes of the holiday, the Dalet Minim, as one of the mitzvos hayom, say it that way, the sukkah, basukos teshu shivas yamim. So that's what we're here to do today, is to try to very ambitiously engage, starting the Torah Shebichsav and moving our way through Torah Shebaal Peh to try to establish what's the relationship, if at all, between these motifs. So Levi, just hang on for a second. I want to establish Torah Shebichsav first, at least to get the record going, and then we'll have an opportunity to, min hakala l'kaved, work our way through the sugya. Okay, so Yehuda, why don't you read the psukim in Emor for us, and then the psukim in Re'eh. We'll try to be medayik as much as we can. Just a little louder, if you don't mind. So as a Freiman, I always like to talk about it's not the Chodesh HaShvi'i, but it's the Chodesh HaShvi'i Hazeh, right? It's a continuation of Be'asor LaChodesh Hazeh, Be'Chodesh HaShvi'i Be'Chad LaChodesh. So it's definitely a continuation of the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur motifs in its own way. And it's being introduced as Chag HaSukkos Shivas Yamim LaHashem. So for those keeping score at home, you should all be able to keep score at this stage. It's very early on. What's in the lead? Chag HaSukkos, right? That seems to be the fundamental identity of this Yom Tov, okay? Right? Not Kol Melacha, right? So it's not a Shabbos Yom Kippur. Isser Melacha, it's a Yom Tov. Kol Melachas Avodah Lo Sa'asu. We're not even going to try to touch Shmini Atzeres for now. That's beyond our scope. So for the careful reader, and maybe not just for the careful reader, but for at least the semi-conscious reader, what just happened, right?
So, It's over.
It's over, right. Yeah. Eile Moadei Hashem, right? These are all the Moadei Hashem. Milvad Shabsos Hashem, right? Not including Shabbos is the beginning of the parasha. Sheishas Yamim Te'asim Lacha. Then we come back to Shabbos, and it's all over. And we had something called Chag HaSukkos, and that's all you really needed to know about the last of the, you know, Yamim Tovim of the Chodesh HaShvi, B'Chodesh HaShvi Hazeh. And it has its own little ending called, you know, Atzeres. And that's, you know, what there is to say. And then... Wait, oh, postscript. Ach, one last thing. NB. Okay, so what just happened? This is an introduction of... Eitan?
The factor of plants.
Good, right. It's very important to note that, right, that the element which is introduced post-ach, ach chilek, right? So post-ach is v'as bechem es tu asaretz, and that all of a sudden it creates a different identity, not chag asukos, but chag. Is that what it says? V'as bechem es tu asaretz, tachogu es chag Hashem. Wow. That's really interesting.
Will Kobe Lightman please come to the front office with all the things? Kobe Lightman to the front office.
Okay, so Tachogu is Chag Hashem Shivas Yamim. So there's a very important, you know, difference. You know, like the Chizkuni talks about this in the context of Yom Kippur versus Shabbos. There's so many overlapping themes of Yom Kippur and Shabbos, right? Shvisas Asor. But it's called Shabbat Shabbason Hilachem. So the Chizkuni is Medayik, it's Shabbat Shabbason Hi Lachem, it's not Shabbos Lashem, because it's not based on Hashem Shvisa, so it's your Shvisa, very important diuk. So this is now Chag Hashem Shivas Yamim. It's not Chag HaSukkos Tasa Lechal Shivas Yamim, Lecha, but it's Tachogu is Chag Hashem. There's a very important difference between the Asif, right, being Chag Hashem, and Sukkos being Chag HaSukkos Tasa Lecha, okay? So that's a very important distinction. It's very subtle. You could miss it. You know, you could say that that pasuk introduced Chag Asif, and you'd be right, but it wouldn't be, you know, the most precise answer, okay? So, B'aspechem es tevuas haaretz, tachogu es Chag Hashem, shivas yamim. You know, if nothing else, these shiurim on the Moadim, they should just train you to a different level of sensitivity in terms of how Torah Shebichsav creates the motifs and the paradigms that will then develop through the lens of halacha. But these very, very, very careful diukim, they are an investment in, you know, the development of the lamdas. Okay. And now... Right, so if you were, you know, not God willing, God forbid you would ever be, but, you know, if you weren't steeped in Torah Shebal Peh, right, how would you read this pasuk? So there's another mitzvah called... Dalad Midim, and it only applies for a day, right? It doesn't really compete with the Chag HaSukkos Shivas Yamim. It's only for a day. And then, because you're ready, Tachogu is Chag Hashem Shivas Yamim, so how should you celebrate that? What would be the motif of the day? Simcha, right? That's what you would naturally assume. It's in the same pasuk, which is striking, but, you know, you don't have to read more into it than that. Right, just in case you missed it the first time, right, Torah is coming back and making it very clear that when you're talking about, you know, these motifs, it's a Chag Hashem, right? Okay, now we have a reiteration of the idea that we haven't given up or turned our backs on the Chag HaSukkos, but it's definitely in the back seat, as it were, you know, in this section, post-ach to Bas Bechemes Tvuas Aretz, Chag Hashem, Ulekachtem Lachem, right? So, you know, in terms of that, you know, keeping score, quote-unquote, right, it all depends where you are in the parasha, right? In terms of the regular cycle of the Moadim, so it's really Chag HaSukkos which takes precedence and is given the pride of place. In the ach, which seems to be, you know, kind of cut off from the rest of the discussion, all of a sudden, Ulekachtem Lachem, and Chag Hashem really emerges as the dominant motif. And yes, it's true, Basukos Teshu Shivas Yamim, that's reiterated, but it seems to be
a secondary theme to the Chag Hashem, to the Chag HaAsif, if you will. And now we have a continuation. The Ma'an. Right. A very, very critical pasuk to state the obvious. Vayidaber Moshe. Right. So Moshe, again, communicated the Mo'adei Hashem to the Jewish people. A lot that the Gemara, the end of Masechta Megillah, has to say about this, right? Chos Chag B'Chag, etc. Kriyas HaTorah of the Yamtif. On the Yamtif, Vayidaber Moshe, Mo'adei Hashem, El B'nei Yisrael. And this is actually the end of the section after that false, you know, positive when we thought it was over, Milvad Shapsos Hashem, and the restarting of the Ach. Okay, so those are the psukim in Emor. There's, you know, a lot of richness, a lot of texture here, a lot to think about. You know, the relationship again between the Ulekachtem Lachem, the Dalad Minim, and the Chag HaSukkos, very much at the forefront of that discussion, but also Chag Hashem and the role that Simcha plays. All of these motifs have to be discussed and have to be ironed out. What about Parshas Re'eh? Oh, no, no. Here we have, for the first time, what? And this is... What's that? Oh, no, no, yeah, that's not what I'm talking about, right? Yes, thank you, Akiva. Right, so now we have a full integration. You know, beforehand, right, when you had Chag HaSukkos, you didn't have any mention of Ba'os Bechem. Here, and then later on, when you had a primary emphasis on Ba'os Bechem's Tfuas Ha'aretz and Chag Hashem, and then as an afterthought, you know, Basukos Teshu Shivas Yamim, Laman Yedu Dorosechem, so now we have a different perspective. The possibility of integration, I'll have to clear this with Ezra retroactively, you know, Toface es Mekomo. Chag HaSukkos Tasalacha Shivas Yamim, again, Licha, presumably as opposed to Lashem, right? Very good. V'chag Hashem so Chag Lashem. Chag HaSukkos Tasel Licha Shivas Yamim. Be'os Becha Migarnecha Mikvecha. Okay, the reiteration of the theme of Simcha, but this time with direction, not just through Smachtem Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, but the Simcha encompasses all of these, you know, personas. Arba Shali, Arba Shalcha, as we like to say.
Right? Also
right? Exactly. Very good. It's what you would expect, right? Right. So in the context of Bechol Tevua Secha, right, Ba'as Bechem is Tevua Se'aretz, then all of a sudden it reverts back to being a Chag LaHashem, which seems almost counterintuitive, right? You would think Ba'as Bechem is Tevua Se'aretz is, that's your celebration, right? And maybe the Sukkos, that's Hoshavti Es B'nei Yisrael, B'Yotzios HaMeretz Yisrael, that would really be the Chag LaHashem, except what we've observed time and again is when we talk about Ba'as Bechem is Tevua Se'aretz, that's the Chag Hashem, and the Sukkos, that's Tase Lecha, right? It's a very counterintuitive thing, but it's pretty consistent across the Psukim, and then once again, the role of that word Ach in Sukkos is just critical in terms of Echzav, you know. Ach gets all the press in the context of Tashbisu. Ach v'yom arishon Tashbisu sarmi batecham. We've discussed that issue extensively, right? The 14th and the 15th, the 9th and the 10th. Last Shir that we had, but here again, Ach, you know, is a very important term in terms of Chag HaSukkos or the Chag HaAsif in the context of, in this case, defining the quality of the Simcha, the purity of the Simcha, and the pervasiveness of the Simcha. Okay, so Torah Shebichsav is always raises the issues for us, but we can't really understand without Torah Shebaal Peh, right? The motifs are there. Chag Lachem, Chag Lashem, right? Chag HaSukkos and Chag HaAsif, Simcha, Ach, all of the motifs are there, but what to make of it all, that's, you know, what we need Torah Shebaal Peh for and to study in, you know, halachic analysis. But, and if we've observed anything, it really is one counterintuitive phenomenon, the linking of Tuas Aretz with Chag Lashem as opposed to Lachem, and Sukkos, Kiva Sukkos, Hoshavti Es B'nei Yisrael, which should be about Hashem, that appears to be Chag HaSukkos Tasel Lecha, Shivas Yamim, like, how are we supposed to make sense of that? That's, I think, the generally speaking, the most fascinating observation. The second observation is what Akiva noted, was that when you move from Emor to Devarim, what you get is the opportunity for synthesis. Right? The idea that the Chag HaSukkos and the Chag HaSif can somehow not just, you know, coexist or exist on parallel tracks, but never the twain shall meet, but actually somehow coexist with each other, and themes of the Chag HaSukkos and Chag HaSif will literally be overlapping with each other. Chag HaSukkos Tasalecha Shivas Yamim Ba'aspecha Migarnecha Umikvecha. So what we're going to do, just structurally, methodologically, is to first point out some contrasts, right, especially in terms of the timeline issue, and then some overlapping reasons to consider synthesis as a possibility, and then we'll be well on our way. Eitan Mermelstein.
I think it also kind of doesn't make sense that the Chavetzvah is Lashem, because you don't want to mistake Kofi.
Okay, so you want to give a drasha now.
So, like, okay. But
that's a nice drasha.
That's why Chavetzvah is Lashem, because that's not something that you can mistake as
Kofi. No, it's a beautiful... It's a beautiful drasha. We're going to, I think the Rashbam will like that very much. We just have to, you know, we have to contextualize it. Rami?
It seems like Sukkot and Emor are more dominating, or rather, it seems like the motif is more about Chag HaShem. Because even when it says, Lokachem Lachem, it's not, and it's more like Lukne Asher Lokachem.
I agree. I totally agree. Yeah. Shimmy?
I noticed that there's also a different reason for the Chag between Emor and Re'e. In Emor, it's Alamayim Yedu Yidurasecham Yisuchon Hushakis Mesha Watsisime Osamayim Yeres Mitzrayim. But in Re'e, it's got a different reason. Ki Varech Lecha Hashem Alkecha B'chol Shuoscha L'chol Masei Yedecha.
Well, again, you know, but that relates to the Chag L'Hashem. I don't know that takes you back to Sukkos, right?
Yeah, so I'm saying, like, maybe, like, the first reason...
You could just say those are... Yeah, I totally agree, right? That's what we keep on pointing out. It's a Chag L'Hashem. Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't call, though, a different reason for Sukkos. It might be a different reason for a different holiday that just overlaps. Right, again, let me just spell it out. You could theoretically have, you know, in Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, but, you know, you could have two overlapping things going on at once, right? It's a dual curriculum, right? So there's a Chag HaSukkos and... There's the Chag HaSif, and they're just happening at the same time, but they're not really fundamentally related. Now, again, once we have the pasuk, you know, Chag HaSukkos Tasel Chashivas Yamim Ba'as Chamigar Necha Mikvecha, right? That becomes less likely. You can already see I'm tipping my hand, but we had to at least conceptually be open to the possibility. Levi Langer.
Oh, about what you just said, this was what I read from what you just said. I mean, just the fact that they're concurrent relates them already. It's impossible that they could be the unrelated. Correct.
Well, impossible is a very strong term.
Well, I mean, for two reasons. One, you'd have to be like celebrating. You just separate like you just separate your celebration in your mind between these two things at the same time, which would be like unnatural at least. And such a reason is like the Torah puts when the Torah makes conventions right. Like this, it obviously relates to them. So when things happen.
Yeah, I agree that it's suggestive, but what's really interesting is that initial ach, right? It wasn't part of the equation initially. It was almost like the Torah wanted to scaffold it in the presentation, right? It wanted to first introduce Sukkos as a pure holiday, and then ach, you know, in addition to that, I'll record, and we'll miss you, and your contributions, which are always valued. You know, the Torah did want to scaffold it in some way, so as you can see, I'm already tipping my pitches here a little bit. So I do believe, evidently, they're related. You could just look at the title of the shiur. But I think we should be, you know, sensitive in terms of the way that Torah Shebech Zav presents it, because clearly these are conceptually, at least theoretically, independent themes. And then we'd have to, you know, shift the emphasis to, well, why did the Torah integrate them? And what's the message here? And Eitan already gave you one possibility. The question is that the only way of looking at it? Ezra. Okay, so let's take a look at some of the evidence that, you know, maybe these are, you know, in competition with each other, or at least, you know, not fully integrated. Just one second, Anderson. Ephraim, why don't you just cover the next section for us, and you'll point out what I'm driving at.
The Mishnah of Barishona,
yeah.
Haya Alula, Nital, Mekdosh, Shiva, Uvamdina, Yomecha.
Okay, very good. So we all know that to be the baseline halacha. Let's go a little bit further and then analyze. Ketzani mitzvah say yeshiva besukka. So the Rambam's presentation, the mitzvah of sukkah, leave much room for any other themes to these 7 days. Bein bayom, bein balayla, the whole mitzvah of the sukkah is teshvu ke'ein tadur. That was the Rambam's big chiddush in his presentation, the nature of mitzvah yeshiva sukkah, right, that the very nature of the mitzvah, indeed, is defined by ke'ein tadur. V'chol shivas hayamim.
Okay,
Tzad. It's really a din in the bias. Kelim Hanoim. So there's like this transference. Like the way that you transform the sukkah into your diras keva, not your diras arai, kiviyachol, is... Exactly. You strip your bias the rest of the year of some of the things that make it just that. Very good. Etc. etc. Okay, and then the Rambam gives you the necessary caveats. So again, the Rambam's presentation here, you know, it's hard to imagine anything else, you know, that could possibly compete with this, because, you know, it's dominant. You're supposed to be living there, bein bayom, bein balayla. Okay, now the Rambam again, this is in the Mishnah Torah. Right, that's the drasha of Torah Shabbat Peh. So what do we see here with this entire section? That basically, you know, Mida Oraisa, what's the dominant mitzvah?
Sukkah.
Right, for sure. And the Rambam in his presentation, the Mishnah Torah, makes it very clear that Dal and Midim could never really compete because it's only one day, right. Okay, so we'll get back to the Mikdash point. But again, the Rambam, the Mishnah Torah, you get the full impression, because that's where the Rambam really gives you his Teshvu Kein Daturu approach to Sukkah, right? And remember, the Rambam, you know, it would appear, maybe we'll talk about this a little bit more on Wednesday, but for the Rambam, as we've discussed in years past, you know, it's not about Achila Basukkah, it's about living in the Sukkah. Hence, you know, every time you go in, no matter what you do, L'chora, you should make the bracha of leishay basukkah, you know, before you actually sit down, because the mitzvah is to live in the sukkah. It's not to eat in the sukkah. It's not, you know, the quantized baliatosis approach that we saw, daf yad aleph, right? It's just, you know, this ongoing mitzvah of yeshiva besukkah. So again, the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam, really contrasts, you know, basukos teshvu shivas yamim with nitilas lulav. It's just something that you happen to do. Sukkos creates the holiday. And as the Rambam says here, mitzvah lulav li'natzel b'yom rishon shel chag, the chag exists independently of the lulav. Now, what's really fascinating to consider, of course, is what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was up to, right? Because when you consider that takana, midrabanan, by taking lulav and making it, you know, all 7 days, is that just a din in lulav, or is that somehow a leveling of the playing field, even with respect to the balance of power between the dal minim and sukkos? Okay, so that's something that's really important, you know, to keep in mind. Let's just read a few more lines, because I think they'll be important for, you know, our purposes. Go ahead, Ephraim.
Are we at Chal Yom HaShabbos?
Yeah, Chal Yom HaShabbos.
Chal Yom HaShabbos, Leos Pesokim Yimei HaChag, Eino Nitol HaShabbos, Zer HaShem HaYolichenu B'yado Arba Amos, Rishos HaRabim, Kimo Shagazer B'Shofar.
And the truth is there are many internal differences between Shofar and Lulav, but the Rambam's explaining the basis, what we call Gzera. But what's really fascinating, the reason that I want to highlight this for now, is that, you know, this Gzera itself really highlights what, in terms of our Mahalich today? You said that very well. Is it conceivable that you'd say this about Sukkah? Not just because technically speaking, it you know, it doesn't apply, but Chag HaSukkos Tasalachal Shivas Yamim, HaSukkos Teshvu Shivas Yamim. Nothing can get in the way. That's the identity of this time of year. And Lulav, you know, all of a sudden, you know, we're factoring in, you know, how does it balance with Shabbos? Can't take priority over Shabbos, right? So, you know, this is such an important point, is don't take it for granted. Think about what Gzera D'Rabba really means. And think about what the idea that the Rambam is presenting. The norm is just one day. And then he immediately goes into Gzeira Deraba. It's exactly what you said, Eitan. That was very articulate, right? It's the inferiority of Lulav relative to Sukkah. There's just no question about that. So, why do I like this line so much? What's the Rambam really saying here? That the real mitzvah is Yom, but even internally in the Dalad Minim, the real mitzvah is Yom Arishon, right? And the rest of the days, that's just a mitzvah, and that's a din in a mikdash.
Right?
I know the Sefer Mitzvahs, and you do too, right? But in the Mishnah, that's why you have to be sensitive to the various presentations. Here, what the Rambam is saying, yeah, the reason that we were going to entertain Gzera Deraba on all the other days was because. That's not really that. It's just in the mikdash that it's a din in the mikdash. It's not really a din in the dalad minim, you know, as much. And you get the impression that mitzvah lulav is a one day mitzvah, and it doesn't define these 7 days in any significant way. And that is in stark and striking contrast to basukos teshvu shivas yamim. That's exactly what the Rambam says. So you would never equate the first day with the rest days. Yeah, it's true that in the mikdash you happen to take the lulav, but Chazal didn't, you know, have any, reservations about implementing Gzera Deraba, you know, post-Churban, you know, on that level, because nobody would ever really think that the rest of the days should be halachically equivalent with day number one. It's a very important statement when you contrast it. Nobody ever said day four of Sukkah is any different than day two of Sukkah. And it just, you know, that's absurd. Okay, so that's already a machlokes, right? Very good. And Rabbi Blazer and the Chachamim, you know, in terms of the Gzera Shava with, Ba'erev Toch L'matzos. But in terms of the Rambam's presentation, you wouldn't get that impression at all, because Achila really isn't the point. It's Teshvu, Kein, Taduru. It's not the meals that define it as a Sukkah. It's the fact that you live there. What makes it a Sukkah, according to the Rambam, is that you took your, you know, trusty Barinholtz chair, you know, your the one that you like to sit in that has, you know, just your, you know, what you need. You bring that out into the sukkah, right? So exactly, your little Winnie the Pooh mattress, you know, and you bring it into the sukkah, and all of a sudden that's, you know, that's what creates the chalos for the Rambam. Basukos teshu shivas yamim. It's really not about the achila, right? So b'shar yimei chag, ena demchayav litol lulav, ela b'mikdash, and therefore, you know, they didn't really take days 2 through 7 the same way that they took day 1. Mishachara beis hamikdash. Right, it doesn't even sound like it's meant to compete with Sukkah. What it's really doing is trying to, you know, just evoke, you know, the mikdash in terms of what mikdash did for the mitzvah of Dalad Minim. Right, that's, the Rambam is comfortable with that. The Rambam isn't comfortable with Tzivanus in the context of Minhagim, right? That's the Rambam Tosfos issue. But in the context of the Rabbanan, sure, why? What's the basis for that Rambam? Veheichan Tzivanu al pi haTorah asher yorucha versus the Ramban, this week's Parsha. Good boy.
But when it comes to mutation mitzvah midiver sofer, it sounds like the Rambam. Is there a different bracha that we say on the first day?
No, it's just saying he's just explaining that you could still, you know, extend the tzivanu.
No, but what I'm saying is mutation. Oh, so he's not saying al instead of.
He's just right. He's just, you know, it's, okay. He's just justifying, right?
Oh, he's justifying the bracha. He's not explaining al instead of
what. Right.
Okay. Fine. V'tzakana zo im kol tzakano shehizkin Rabban Yochanan mezakai mishacharav beis hamikdash sheibana beis hamikdash yachzur advarim liyashu.
So why did I include this line? This is the Rambam's way of saying that this is an exigent matter. You know, zeichel mikdash. We should remember not just the churban, but the mikdash the way that it was. But it's all going to revert, and once it reverts, right, lulav is really going to be a one day mitzvah, and then the mikdash will have its own set of rules. It's not going to be a competitor with Chag HaSukkos, with Basukos Teshu Shivas Yamim, you know, in the very robust sense that you get from those Psukim Laman Yedu Doresechem Ki Basukos Chag HaSukkos Tasalacha Shivas Yamim Basukos Teshu. It's just a completely, you know, dominant motif when you look in the Rambam in the Mishneh Torah. Now, on the other hand, there's a lot, you know, to be said for the possibility of integration, either of two themes or of, you know, co-equal themes and the integration of the themes. Again, the minute you start talking about integration, you can't talk about the idea of Sukkos dominating, you know, mitzvahs lulav, because, you know, it's not Sukkos at the expense of lulav, it's the fact that lulav is somehow part of the broader rubric of Sukkot. So let's take a look at the evidence there. Avi, why don't you take us through this entire section, and Levi's on the ledger. Okay, we're going to get Levi up next. Let's just take the next section. Chag HaSukkos v'chag HaAsif, not the Umat. Right, you can be medayik in my subtitles, if you like. Right, this is Ba'as B'cham Yigarnacham Mikvech. Akiva Prager, who's no longer with us in the very local sense of the term, right, pointed out the integration, Chag HaSukkos Tassel Chashivas Yamim, Ba'as B'cham Yigarnacham Mikvech. So there are two Deos and Rashi that are two worlds in Lamdas. Learn how to take two Deos and Rashi and build, you know, two worlds of Lamdas. Avi, go ahead. In other words, it just happens to be that it's overlapping with that time. But Levi said it was impossible. Maybe it's not so impossible. It just happens to be that it's the Zman HaSif, and that's when God wants you to sit in the Sukkah. Well, here it just, it doesn't. Chag HaSukkos Ta'aseh Lecha Shivas Yamim Ba'as B'cham Yigarnu B'cham Yigarnu. This is the Pesukim Re'e. Right? Davar Acher. And Lamdanim all go wild. Right. There you have it. The Davar Acher and Rashi is, no, 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 these aren't just, you know, contemporaneous or parallel tracks. Nothing happened. So, what is the Davar Acher? It's integration. The Haraya, the most important part of the Sukkah, the part that gives the Sukkah its name, the Schach, right? Nobody cares about the walls, anyway.
Chaim Mermelstein, please come to guidance. Chaim Mermelstein, please come to guidance.
So, the most important part of the Sukkah, the Schach, right, that gives the shame to the Sukkah, all of a sudden, that emerges from the Tkufat HaAsif. Ba'as Bechem, Migarnecha, Mikvecha. That's striking. It's two Deos in Rashi. What the relationship is, how we should understand this pasuk. Chag HaSukkos Ta'aseh Lecha Shivas Yamim, just so happens, Ba'as B'cham Yigarnecha Mikvecha, first day in Rashi, or Ba'as B'cham Yigarnecha Mikvecha, that's what enables you to make the Chag HaSukkos. Chag HaSukkos Ta'aseh Lecha, Ba'as B'cham is what generates, wow, the Sukkah itself. Now talk about an inversion. You know, up until now, Sukkos was dominating, and now we have the idea that Sukkos is contingent on Ba'as B'cham Yigarnecha Mikvecha. You imagine a very, very, you know, dramatic way. If you didn't, you know, have any asif, there would be no Sukkah.
Are we saying that lulav is a representation of asif, or
it's yeah, it's part of the Tu'a Saretz. Yes. Yes, that's exactly what we're saying. Excellent. Now, along these lines, you know, when we talk about, you know, the idea that, you know, they could be co-equals or maybe even synergistic, let's take a look at the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvos. It's a very different presentation that we have in the Mishneh Torah. Noam, go ahead. Okay, all of a sudden, it's Leisha Basukah Shivas Yamim Bimei Hechag. Why am I medayik that Bimei Hechag?
It's not saying that this is the Chag.
It's very good. It's not synonymous. It doesn't create the holiday. There is some holiday, right, that has a mitzvah saseh of yeshiva sukkah, right? Rambam's presentation in the Mishneh Torah, you know, what else could there be besides sukkah? That is the definition of these days, okay?
Wait, so is it a definition?
Well, it depends, based on, are you in the Sefer HaMitzvos in the Mishneh Torah? I'm just saying, if you read the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Chag is independent, and the Chag is mechayiv, a mitzvah saseh of yeshiva sukkah. There's subtle points here. Yeah, no. Right, so they observe the holiday, but they don't have this mitzvah saseh, right? It's mitzvah saseh shazman grama. You'll tell me, what about matzah? Right? Matzah is linked to a lo saseh, b'chametz, kosh yeshem batul chachametz, yeshem b'kum echol matzah. Very good. Now the next mitzvah, kuf samach tes. Oh. Yeah, don't worry about that part. Okay, so what changed between the Mishnah Torah and the Sefer HaMitzvos? Massive. None of the halachic facts change, but the presentation is completely different. Ephraim?
So now suddenly the mitzvah is 7 days, but as a side note...
If for whatever reason you live on 99.9999 repeating 9% of the Earth's surface area, then it's only 1 day. But hey, that's the exception. The mitzvah is, l'smolach bo lifnei Hashem shivas yamim. It's a dramatic, transformational difference between the Sefer HaMitzvos and the Mishnah Torah. And all of a sudden, you can talk about lulav not just being an equal or a competitor, but maybe even the dominant theme. Why do I say that? Because in Kuf Samaches, it's mitzvah sukkah bimei hachag. Right? The chag somehow is, independent thereof. Right, in Kuf Samachtas, it's Yimanu Lito Lula Vismach Balivne Hashem Shivas Yamin. What are you doing for 7 days in the Sefer HaMitzvos? What are you doing for 7 days? You're frolicking and rejoicing with your lulav. Oh, and by the way, there's another mitzvah of Yeshiva Sukkah. What are you doing in the Mishnah Torah? You're bringing, you're winning the Pooh mattress into the Sukkah, and you're living in the Sukkah, and you're Teshvu Kein Taduring your way around for 7 days. It's a completely, different presentation. No, and by the way, and on the first day, you'd have a mitzvah to take the Dalad Minim for about 4.2 seconds, and then you're done. So again, there's a huge difference in terms of the presentation. None of the halachic facts have changed, but presentation is everything, right? In Lambda, so here in the Sefer HaMitzvos, that's what you get. Now, what's really interesting is that there's a way to kind of neutralize at least some of this by suggesting a special relationship between the sukkah and the mikdash. So let's say you really wanted to make the argument, right, that what we're saying now is a little bit of a false positive. That the indications that we're getting may not be exactly what they seem. What makes lulav a mitzvah for 7 days, let's say especially from the Sefer HaMitzvos point of view, it's only a din in the mikdash. It's not natural to the lulav itself. A haraya, Chazal never treated days 2 through 7 the same, right? Because that's really only a din in the mikdash, so they didn't hesitate in terms of the gzeirah derabbah issue, so on and so forth. So you might say, that sukkah also, which has been very consistently 7 days, right, both of the Mishnah Torah and in the Sefer HaMitzvos, maybe the reason that sukkah is 7 days isn't so much because of the natural dominance of sukkah, but what might you say? That sukkah, this is not such a far-out idea, that wherever there's a sukkah, it becomes 7 days because... What makes lulav 7 days? It's a mikdash. Okay, just put that on the record. This is not, this is Mufurish and Chazal. But go ahead. Shimi, you want to take it for us? And then again, I know Levi's waiting. But just quickly, the source is 9 through 11. This is halacha. Right, so what are we suggesting? That the sukkah has a din of kodshim, right? It relates somehow to themes of hekdesh and mikdash, and you have that actually in Mefurash, the pasuk in Eicha, Vayachmos kagan sukko, shiches moado, okay, famous medrash states, you guys all know it. Go ahead. This is the 11th source, right? Mispalo betocha, right? Brachos dav zayin, right? Based filasi, not based filasam. He said it a million times yesterday. Omer yiratzam alfanayish yu banayos nirtzoni kidei shalo. Basi, that I'm not going to have to destroy my sukkah, dahainu my mikdash. Shenemar vayibishalem sukkah monaso. Kevan shigara machet maksiv. Vayachmos. Machti is banai. Right, so again, the Pasuk in Eicha, Mufurash, refers to the Beis HaMikdash as a sukkah. So again, Kishim Shechal, Kishim Shemayim, Al Chagiga, Kachal Al Sukkah. So it's possible to suggest that, you know, just like Lulav is 7 days in the Beis HaMikdash, maybe the reason that sukkah is 7 days is because it's also an expression of Mikdash, right? So it's not so much that sukkah is always going to be the dominant theme. After all, that's all 7 days. I'm saying even according to the Rambam's presentation in the Mishnah Torah, that's what I meant by a false positive. Maybe it's just that sukkah really is a manifestation of, you know, a personal mikdash, a kind of a mikdash mat. There's obviously a huge body of evidence for this. We're running through it very quickly, but that would take the entire, you know, first, you know, thrust that we had in terms of saying sukkah was dominant and lulav, you know, is a one-day thing and it's 4.2 seconds and it's not really that significant. Saying, no, really, they're both, you know, amplified as expressions of mikdash. It's just that sukkah always has to be an expression of mikdash. You can't discount that possibility. There's a lot to be said for that, and I'm not even doing justice now. I'm just giving you a very quick, you know, exposure to that motif in terms of understanding what the sukkah is all about. But if you just pay attention, by the way, during, you know, Hoshanos, you'll, you know, have, this will be very clear to you. You know, all the references in terms of the Beis HaMikdash and sukkah, just pay attention as you're going around, holding the lulav, ironically, when you're talking about the Beis HaMikdash, and the way that the Beis HaMikdash is called in 100 different ways, the sukkah. Levi was waiting, then Yenison, and then Noam.
I think in Nehemiah, when it talks about, maybe it seems from Nehemiah that they would make the sukkah out of the materials, and I know there's a dead and something like that.
Out of what materials?
Out of arba minim materials.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Bas b'chamigar n'chamikracha, yeah.
So then we wouldn't be competing at all. No.
That's where we're for sure. That's the second day in Rashi. That's where we're going.
No, but, like...
No, we're on the same page. I totally agree.
But you could say, like, specifically speaking, that, like, sukkah is like, a different form of the lulav, and vice versa.
You may not just different form, it's created by the actual schach. That's what we were saying for the second day in Rashi. We're totally on the same page.
So when the second day in Rashi is explicitly, when it says, like, pshulim, it means explicitly.
It doesn't have to be that. You could say it would actually be, you know, broader than that, because garnacha could be, you know, wheat products. But the point is, you know, it's within that general trajectory. That's where the mitzvah comes up. So it's very clear that, you know, they're related. What you're saying in the Chemi is even more explicit. But I totally agree.
And I think also that about the two different holidays, maybe one holiday. So in Malachim, when it refers to Sukkot, it just calls a Chag in the singular.
Very good. Okay, so that's the integration of Chag Lachem and Chag Lashem. And hopefully we'll have a chance to get there. No, we're running a little bit against the clock, but for sure. Noam, Yenison, and then Noam. Let's hold off on that, okay? Yeah, it's a very good question. Yenison, then Ilan. Yeah.
Is there a separate concept of sukkah and there's a thing called a sukkah, but not a
shem mitzvah? Well, you could have a sukkah shalosh shem mitzvah, like the Gemara discusses sukkah gan bach, sukkah yeshana,
so
right? Beis Shammai. Well, this sukkah, here it's talking about sukkah as the Beis HaMikdash. I'm just pointing out that sukkah can always be an expression of mikdash. So the Tanakh itself refers to the Beis HaMikdash as a sukkah.
I'm saying that maybe...
Kinis b'nei b'sukho b'yom ra'ah.
Maybe it's not necessarily related to the mitzvah sukkah, but rather just the kind of idea of the structure of sukkah itself. I mean, just like... Sukkah say shafti is saying straw. It's not referring to the actual mitzvah sukkah.
No, well, it's talking about the Beis HaMikdash. My point is that, you know, it's not an accident, I don't think, that the sukkah that we're commanded to build and to live in, you know, it's the same word that, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu uses to describe his house. I think that's important. Yeah, Ilan.
Something happened,
No question. No Yisukah. That's where it comes from. This is exactly the basis for it. That's this Gemara here is the conceptual basis for that. Ephraim.
It also makes sense that they're in a Sarat Fachim from the Aaron.
Very good. Another, yeah, Ezra. Right, so the Rambam makes the, you know, the simcha of Usmach Mithay Hashem Akechem Shabbas Yamim, the Sefer HaMitzvahs, you get the very strong impression that that's a din in the lulav. You're absolutely right. In the Mishnah Torah, you don't have that impression at all. And for the Rambam, you know, we spoke about this a little bit in Perek Ches, but it sounds like it's much more a din in Simchas Beis Hashrei, but it's at least broader in its scope. Okay, so let's now start to bring things around third and home. Okay, so the Sefer HaChinuch has a little bit of a quixotic idea, in my opinion, about the Shoresh HaMitzvah when it comes to Dalad Minim. So let's, Avi, why don't we enter that into the record, and then we'll be really off and running. I want to use the Sefer HaMitzvah. Sefer HaChinuch has a little bit of a foil. Go ahead. Right, it's a time of great joy. Right, it even, you know, gives its name to the holiday. Chag Hasif B'Tzeis Hashana, B'Tzkufas Hashana, V'Tzivo Ha'el L'Amo, L'Zako Sam Lios Ikar HaSimcha L'Shmo. Because you're going to be happy anyway, you might as well, you know, elevate that happiness. You know, Mutav Shiyu Chogigin L'Shmi, Mishu Chogigin, you know, the Kresasam. Their stomachs. Head and A. Yes. Moshechas HaChomer Harbe. Mishkachas Menu Yiras Elokim. There's a way of getting the best of us. Simchas libeinu lishmo lichvodo. So this is what I like to call, it's almost like a bidyavid perspective on the Dalad Minim, right? Since you're, you know, so busy celebrating, you know, your bank account and your, you know, year-end bonus, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to give you the mitzvah of Dalad Minim, you know, to redirect your attention to Yiras Shamayim. How so? Hayam Ritzon Adios Maskir Min HaMisamech Moshe Esei Simcha. Hashem did it in a very clever way, that he redirected you towards him with minim that, you know, sort of fit into the overall theme of the joy of the time. Yadua mitzadateva, arba minim kulan, mesam chelev, ro'ehem. So it's like the Dalad Minim is really just, you know, a stopgap against frivolity, you know, against losing yourself, you know, in the moment. Okay, so that's the way the Sefer HaChinuch is setting it up. And the Sefer HaChinuch's presentation doesn't seem to integrate at all with Chag HaSukos, right? It's just sort of the Dalad Minim, you know, is meant as a control against the overflowing Simcha of the Asif. That's the Chinuch's perspective. Again, I'm using it as a foil. So let's talk a little bit about Sukkos proper. We'll go through this section pretty quickly because I think this is the part that's best known to all of you. And then we'll be ready for, you know, the integration. So we know that the famous machlokas between Reb Lazar and his Talmud, Rebbe Akiva, what are we talking about when we're talking about Sukkos? So Rebbe Eliezer says something strange. He says it's Anane Kavod. And Rebbe Akiva says it's Sukkos Mamish. Why do you say Rebbe Lazar says something strange? Well, it's not objectively strange, but if you go around Teaneck right now, and I hear that they have some other communities as well, but I'm not familiar with them in the first-hand way. What's that? Right, right. Oh, it does. Okay, I was going to say, you know, it's very strange because if you look in people's driveways and stuff, you're not seeing a lot of Anane Kavod around, right? So anyway, you know, it seemed very odd that we're celebrating the Anane Kavod by building little huts, but, you know, hey, I guess anything's possible. You're telling me that in Englewood, you know, they're doing it, Rabbi Eliezer, in the purest sense. And that is, by the way, Shitas HaTargum, it's Shitas Rashi, it's the Shita the Tur, the Shita the Ramban. Right, it's the consensus of view that what we're really talking about when we talk about Kiva Sukkos HaShavti is we're talking about the Anane Kavod. We're not talking about the Sukkos Mamish. The Tur, you know, mentions it. And it's very noteworthy that the Torah mentions it. Why? Because it's a sefer halacha. So why would the Torah care to tell you that it's the Anane Kavod? So well, this is a...
So you could remember correctly.
So the correct, right, because this is the famous essay of who? The Bach, right, very good. So the Bach says, yeah, there's such a thing called mitzvos tzrichos kavana. Vipaskin in general, mitzvos einan tzrichos kavana, very good. But anytime the Torah says lema'an, it means that kavana is ma'akev. So the Bach gives the two other examples. Tfilin, lema'an tiyat teres Hashem b'ficha. Tzitzis, lema'an tiz kiru v'asisem. It's called mitzvosai. So his theory was if the Torah said that you should do this, lema'an, so that means that it's not part of the general sugya of mitzvos trichos kavana or not, and he says that's why the Torah felt the need to tell you, by the way, I paskin, along with Unklus, and along with Rashi, and along with the Ramban, that it's anani kavod, so that when you get in there and you want to be mekayin in the mitzvah, you actually know what kavana you have to have in mind. I've often pointed out that you don't have to go as far as the Bach, right? The Bach is really quite a mechadesh here, not just in terms of sukkah. You could say, no, sukkah really is different than, let's say, tzitzis and tefillin. Why? Because it's only in the context of sukkah that it actually says, Laman yedu doru seichem. You actually have to know, right? So even by tzitzis, it says Laman tizkru, it's meant to trigger something, but it doesn't actually use the term yediya. It says that tefillin, lemaisa, is Laman tiyat teres Hashem b'ficha, but if you don't know that, I don't know that you'd go so far as the Bach. The Bach, you know, I think kind of bit off a little bit more than he needed to make the point, but the diuk is a very powerful one, you know, in the tour. The Ibn Ezra, second, Yenison, the Ibn Ezra disagrees. The Ibn Ezra thinks that primarily what we're focusing on is the Sukkos Mamish, right? That is the view of the Ibn Ezra. It is contrasted by the view of the Ramban. We'll talk about the Ramban in just a moment. The Ramban thinks it really is the Anane Kavod. What everybody's going to have to explain, and everybody explains it in their own way, we'll quickly go through the four main Shitos now, you know, on this topic, again, very, very quickly in the interest of time, because it's not our foundational focus for now, is why in the world would you be marking, you know, Behotzio Samer Tzitzrayim in the Chodesh Hashvi? So who wants to remind us the Torah's very peculiar perspective about this? The Torah says, if you did it in Nisan, you really should have done it in Nisan. The issue is...
Everyone makes sukkahs in Nisan?
Well, you know, it's nice weather, everybody's going to think it's your gazebo, and it's important that everybody know it's Lashem Mitzvah, and everybody says to the Torah, why? Who cares? Since when is that a requirement? And anyway, if you've ever been to Israel on Sukkot, where the holiday was meant to be celebrated according to the Torah, you know, the Torah kind of did make that assumption that, you know, you'd be living in Israel. That's one of the main ideas in the entire Torah. So, you know, if you've ever been to Israel on Sukkot, I've been zochah to be there twice. Absolutely gorgeous, you know. It's not like being in Tinek, you know, or Vilna for that matter, where it could be quite cold. And everybody would not necessarily know that you're doing it l'shem mitzvah. But anyway, that's the theory of the tour. The Ibn Ezra has a little bit of a different theory. It's helped by the fact that he holds Sukkos Mamish. He says, yeah, of course, as soon as the Jewish people left Egypt, Hashem gave them the Anane Kavod. The Anane Kavod focused on really good air conditioning, except they didn't have a heating feature to them. So since what we're remembering is the Sukkos Mamish, B'tchilas Yemos HaGeshamim in the Midbar, you know, that's when they built their Sukkos Mamish, because the Anane Kavod had no heating feature to them. Why didn't it have a heating feature to them? I can't explain. Only the Ibn Ezra could answer that question. So that's his theory of the case. The Ramban, who says it's Anane Kavod, says, yeah, of course, the Anane Kavod were there from the beginning, but why do we celebrate B'tchila Simos HaGeshamim? It's because the Anane Kavod were so much more important once they became rain protection, you know, as well, you know, and cold protection also. So the Ramban, who holds Anane Kavod, you know, that he says that they become much more impressive and much more significant, you know, once the Yemos HaGeshamim start, which is really interesting. And the Ramban's general perspective here is extremely helpful. Noam, go ahead. Oh, interesting. Okay, so that would be a different perspective. Interesting. Okay, that would be a different approach. That the whole thing is like, you know, mipnei chataenu. Okay, so again, responding to the same issue. Okay, so Eitan left, but, you know, he was going to make this point. I guess before we get to that, Rami, go ahead. Yes, I'll go through all the three shitos again, then we'll put the Rashbam,
you know, on the ledger inside, and this will be our case for integration. And then hopefully we'll have time to wrap things up with the Rambam. So again, the Torah said the reason that you'd have a Zecho Tias Mitzrayim in the Chodesh HaShvi is really idiosyncratic. It's just, you know, Mayomru, that we want it to be clear to everybody that we're doing it, you know, B'mitzvahs HaMelech Aleinu, and we're not doing it, you know, just, you know, because we want to be outside and it's very nice weather. If it was Nisan, people might think that it's the Chodesh HaAviv, so we wait until Tchilas Yimos HaGeshamim. And we asked the questions that we did. First of all, why does it matter so much what anybody says? Number one. Number two, I'm not really sure in Israel people wouldn't have the same reaction anyway. The Ibn Ezra says, since you're marking Sukkos Mamish, right, he's with Rabbi Akiva, certainly in the minority of Shittos, so he says they only built the Sukkos Mamish B'tzchilas Yimos HaGeshamim, so of course it's in the seventh month. The Ramban says, no, it's really the Anane Kavod, but the Anane Kavod were much more appreciated B'tzchilas Yimos HaGeshamim because they kept us dry. And I guess the Ramban's Anane Kavod had something of a heating feature as opposed to, you know, the Ibn Ezra's. Okay, so that's really the three Shittos that we saw. Let's take a look at the Rashbam. The Rashbam has, you know, a diametrically opposite point of view, you know, to the Chinuch. The Chinuch totally abandoned any attempt to integrate the Dalet Minim with Chag HaSukkos, which we think is unfortunate in light of that second day on Rashi. As well as Levi's, you know, very well articulated intuition that it's probably, you know, highly unlikely that these things are just contemporaneous or parallel, but we would expect that they should integrate, you know, in some level, and especially in light of Levi's Heara from Sefer Nechemiah. So Levi, you know, in honor of that, why don't you take a look at the Rashbam, which you'll hear echoes of what Eitan was articulating before, but I think the Rashbam, frankly, goes even further than Eitan was willing to. At least Rabbi Akiva has one friend besides the Ibn Ezra. Not the Ibn Ezra isn't a good friend to have, but. So it's not an accident. He quotes the pasuk that gave us the very idea of integration. Akiva Prager's pasuk, okay? Titnu hoda lamisha nasa nachem nachalo. Right. So then the Rashbam's scheme, basically, what the Chag HaSukkos is there to do is to
remind you of that, especially the harvest you just harvested.
Very good. Is to temper, you know, some of the challenges that come with the with the Asif, right? So again, what you want to do, and this becomes very powerful according to the second day in Rashi, what do I mean by that? When you take, excellent, innocent. So when you actually have it there, and you take those things that could have been, you know, the very source of a sense of, you know, complacency and arrogance, you know, very, very dangerous things, and you reduce them in a certain sense, you really are elevating them, l'shem shamayim, right? That's part of what we're going to get back to in a second. But you take the asif, right, and you say that this asif is actually going to be now, you know, for the Rashbam's perspective, put in the context of a sukkah,
it totally changes the meaning of it, and you recognize ki hu hanosein lecha koach lasos chayil. So in that sense, the asif really is going back to our diukim in Torah Shebichsav. What does it reflect? It's the
LaHashem.
Very good. Exactly right. So it's the elevation. From one point of view, it's, you know, making sure that you don't, you know, fly off the handle, but it really does, you know, so it keeps you in, you know, in a safer space, you know, spiritually speaking. But what it really does is it takes the asif and redirects it, you know, towards Hashem. So again, for the chinuch, the idea was, okay, the mitzvah of dalaminim, that's just meant to control, you know, internally the asif. The Rashbam really made a much more ambitious argument, right? What the Rashbam was trying to explain is how you could have a pasuk, chagasukos tasalacha shivas yamim, be'aspecha migarnecha mikvecha. How the asif, instead of being lachem, can really, in fact, be lahashem, right? And that's a very important idea. So, chagasukos tasalacha, when you build those sukos for yourselves as a way of, you know, imposing that control on you, so then the asif, instead of it being kochi v'otzim yadi, you can really recognize the asif as coming lahashem v'chagosem oso chag lahashem Shivas Yamin Bashana. I think that's really the gauntlet that the Rashbam holds out. Now, I think here, you know, within this context, you can well understand why you'd have the dichotomy of Yom Echad versus Shivas Yamin. Ephraim, what do I mean by that? Why, when it comes to the mitzvah that's symbolic of Chag HaSif,
Davka Lulav, you can only have it for one day, whereas, because, you know, you want to restrict the arrogance, whereas the humility, you can keep going for them.
Well, I'm just saying internally in Dalad Minim, saying if the whole idea, just think it through for a second.
It's meant to be a base mikdash activity because you're devoting.
In the mikdash itself, in other words, in Hashem's house, then what's more incumbent upon us? When we're actually in Hashem's presence. What's that? Right, I'm saying, but even, especially pointing to the scheme of the Rashbam, I think you can make the argument that that there you want to go, I think, even further. In other words, it might be enough to temper, you know, one day using the actual lulav themselves, and as long as you have the sukkah for 7 days, that's doing most of the work. But if you're in Hashem's house on a daily level, midaraisa, what you're going to need is a reminder that this asif really belongs to Hashem. So again, I think that's one way of explaining the Shivas Yamim versus the Yom Echad. Usmachtam lifnei Hashem Bokecham Shivas Yamim. When you're actually in Hashem's presence, then the Asif, or the Mitzvahs HaAsif, you know, becomes even more pronounced. You can't possibly, you know, take credit for it when you're in Hashem's house. One day might be enough, Bigvulin, but when you're in Hashem's house, the need to make the proper attribution may be commensurately increased. Okay. Yenison, go ahead. Okay. It's totally possible to explain it that way. I'm just trying to take the Rashbam scheme and, you know, figure out how the halacha would work out according to that. I think objectively what you're saying is true. It's certainly possible. Yeah, no. Yeah, that's what Yonasan was just saying. That's what Yonasan was saying. I'm just saying, according to the Rashbam scheme, this is the way that you'd have to make sense of it. If you don't subscribe to the Rashbam, I agree. You know, you'd have a different perspective. Okay. Yeah.
I think especially because you said that the sukkos from the Kesulim, this isn't even just the opportunity, this is where I'm going to put sukkah, but that you're devoting every part of your harvest to do you think Hashem for every part of what he's given you, as opposed to only using, by using everything Hashem has given you, your awareness and thankfulness to Hashem is heightened?
Very well said.
Okay.
I wanted to conclude by noting that in a cascading sense, this basic approach is actually very much part of the Rambam's general definition of simcha. So the basic approach, again, which the Rashbam should be credited for articulating and for his fullest, you know, full integration of Chag HaSif and Chag HaSukkos in a way that I think really goes beyond what anybody else fully articulated, is very resonant with certain passages, three particular dinim that the Rambam has in terms of his definition of simcha. Again, simcha is a general din by all of the Moadim, but it obviously is more important. Ach Sameach, Zman Simchasenu, Smachnu L'Ithnei Hashem L'Kecham Shivas Yamim. So let's talk a little bit about how, you know, echoes of the Rashbam are really relevant to the Rambam's point of view about how Simcha is expressed. Again, and I think it's very, very much apart from the way that the Sefer Achinuch, you know, puts it. I think it really goes well beyond the idea of just like not letting things go out of hand, which is the way sometimes people formulate the Rambam, but I think the Rambam is saying something actually quite different. David, you haven't read the Rambam today. Shivas Yimei HaPesach. Right, so this is again the Rambam's famous shita about, you know, Simchas Yamtip Bisman Azed Raisa. Okay, the primary expression of Simcha are the Yishalmei Simcha, but that's not the only, right, you know, expression Mida Raisa. So Ketzad. This is a huge chiddush of the Rambam. The Gemara never said this. You will not find a single Gemara that says this in the context of Simchas Yom Tov. You will find the Gemara Pesachim Daf Kuf Tes that suggests this in terms of keeping children up for the Seder, that Rabbi Kiva was Mechalek Klayos Hagozim. This was the Rambam, you know, on a, what I'd like to call a free read. You know, he was going rogue, but in a good way. V'anashim. Right, Tachshitim, we just took it up a tax bracket right there. We saw this as, remember, the Ataris Akanim, a person make a ned there, right? Just not to be Chal and Yomtif, you'd be okay in terms of Erev. Yeah, okay. Hence my reference from before. Right, so that's a very graphic image, obviously, of God, you know, soiling you, you know, in excrement, you know, when you behave in this fashion. Okay, so again, the first din in the Rambam had to do with Misameach Banu Bnei Beiso. The second din is the Umlalim. You can see where we're going with this in just a second. And then the Rambam goes on to say, Aval Pisha Achila Ushasiya. Mispalin, Vikar Batorah, Binyan Ayom. Not incidental, by the way, that it's Be'inyan Hayom. V'chozun levatem v'ochlin. V'ochlin levatem b'drashos. Kor v'shon nad chatzi hayom. The Rambam, they daven very early. Okay, so what's my point? You can just, you know, it's jumping off the page. But the three dinim in the Rambam, where the Sameach Banu v'nei v'yiso, and then the Ani Ma'um Lalim, and then to devote half the day to Hashem, what's the Rambam really saying? That Simcha, right, emerges from a recognition that really, what's that? Happiness is a warm. It's a warm gun. Okay, so I have to, you know, think very deeply about that. Probably if you pay it backwards, to say something about the Kennedy assassination. But the point is, the point is that for the Rambam, he's describing the mitzvah of Simchas Yamtif Midaraisa Rami, and what's he saying? yeah, it's a little, Levi?
You to go to shul and
yeah, yeah, but that's just an expression. Ilan? Yeah, so it's all a recognition of what, this way I saved it for after the Rashbam, it's all a recognition that it really is LaHashem. It doesn't really, it's not really from you or about you, so it starts with Banav Nebe. So, and of course, then it expands, you know, in those concentric circles, you know, beyond that, the Ger Liyasam, L'Almana, Arba Shali, Keneged Arba Shalcha. And then very naturally, right, the Rambam's placement here isn't accidental, but the Chatzi LaHashem is in his explication of Simcha. Right, the whole idea is that, you know, you shouldn't even consider for a second, you know, just hoarding things to yourself because it has nothing to do with you. Kochi v'otzem yadi, you know, lo asali es hachayil hazeh. The proper simcha is, of course, to make the proper attribution and, you know, with everything that entails. So that automatically means, you know, arba shali, taking care of the ones that Hashem is very concerned about. It automatically means, you know, chatzi l'Hashem, tefillah and Talmud Torah, be'inyan hayom, not just any Talmud Torah, but again, recognizing that the themes of the day connect to Hashem. And only then, and this is why I see it as a world apart from the chinuch, it's not just, you know, don't let things go out of hand, but shadam ochal v'shosev sameach b'regel, go ahead, David. A passage we already saw, we talk about tachas shalavat. Shosh shechros eschol karaba, Ganos, Pradesin, the Harus, the Shabs, the Cholishto, Shamanash, and Ashu, the Avera, and you'd be very careful. Right, so this is again, for the Rambam, this is the fourth expression of the idea, but again, it's fourth and final. It comes last. Right, again, for the Chinuch, this was like the driving force, is that, you know, Simcha is going to get out of control, and so better redirect it towards Hashem, you know, with the Dalet Minim. So for the Rambam, you know, you have, you know, some overlap, but it's really not about that. It's primarily about the first three things that we saw. And then again, the Rambam says, well, yeah, of course, you know, by definition, you can't let it get out of hand because that would undermine the entire avoda that's going on here. But really what it's about is appreciating how much everything that we have is really from Hashem. Usmachtem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem shivas yamim. And here we come to Noam and Yenison's point, which I think is very well taken. Aliba de Rambam, this is where I think the Rambam and the Rashbam will diverge, is that according to Rambam, the more that you're in Hashem's presence, the more natural it is to have an increased level of simcha. Hence, the Rambam Shita, right about simcha space ha-shoeva, mikdash, simcha yisera. Hence, the Rambam Shita about lulav, right, usmachtam, lifnei Hashem lokecham shivas yamim, especially the way that the Rambam presents it in the Sefer HaMitzvos, that the closer you are to Hashem, the closer you are to the very source of your joy, the more natural it is for you to rejoice in his presence. He, after all, is the very source of all of your simcha. And yes, he'll agree with the Sefer HaChinuch that you shouldn't let it get out of hand, but that's hardly the reason for the mitzvah of lulav. Again, the Chinuch will tell you, no, I'll tell you the mitzvah of lulav, because everything's about to fall apart. That's not what it is for the Rambam, right? The idea is that Hashem is giving you, you know, a great deal, and, you know, we should be rejoicing in Hashem, Chatzil Hashem, Chatzil Hashem, and taking care of all the people that Hashem wants us to take care of. And yes, you also can't let it get out of hand, but it's really about the simcha of recognizing, you know, how Hashem is, you know, taking care of us and being, you know, in Hashem's presence. So in that way, I just have 60 seconds left, so I'll conclude here. I see that the Yenison has a question, so hopefully we'll be able to get that in as well. That really takes us back to where we started, the first point that we made, Bachodesh Hashvi'i Hazeh. Right? If the truest and fullest expression of simcha is to be lifnei Hashem, then the process that we've just gone through, right, lifnei Hashem titaru, you know, after, you know, owning up to all the things that get in the way of us being lifnei Hashem, obviously, chol chatoseichem, and, you know, taking care of those things, then we can be in Hashem's presence, you know, with unadulterated simcha. And that way, it is very much the culmination of the Chodesh Hashvi'i cycle as well, the Chodesh Hashvi'i, which is all about lifnei Hashem titaru, you know, after you've undergone that process of titaru, so then of course what's left to do is, you know, usmachtem lifnei Hashem elokeichem shivas yamim. So what emerges, especially according to the Rashbam, and you know, then we took the Rambam's definition of simcha and we tried to run with the ball a little bit, is the idea that you don't have just have two parallel themes or contemporaneous themes, but what we really have is an integration. The sukkah exists, hopefully, to give us a sense of direction, la Hashem. It becomes, the asif becomes la Hashem only once you've integrated the sukkah. The sukkah is what allows that to make that possible. In effect, of starting to reevaluate everything you have. And when you reevaluate everything you have is really coming from Hashem, so that by definition means that the closer you are to Hashem's presence, the more likely you are to rejoice. He's the very source of your simcha. It also means that it will be natural for you to want to share what's not really yours to begin with. It was just a matana with banav upnei beso, with the aniyim ha'umlalim, to integrate your celebration of the day with avodas Hashem of Talmud Torah and Tefillah. And of course, not to let things get out of hand, because you recognize and appreciate that the very source of your joy is indeed Kadosh Baruch Hu himself. Let's just take one question, then we'll dive mincha. Yenis, go ahead. Okay.